Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
News, traffic, and the latest from the world of sports. This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey guys, welcome into a Wednesday night here on KMOX Rush Hour Sports with Sports Open Line to follow from 6 until 8 o'clock. It's going to be a little weird, at least, well, not so much for me because I'm kind of used to doing things the way we're doing them tonight. But I'm flying solo for both shows. Matt Pauly will be back next week, so he's out for the rest of this week. And I'm just picking it up for tonight. And you'll have Nate Gatter in tomorrow night just like normal. But happy to do this, man. We got a lot of baseball to cover at 6:20 during Sports Open Line. Bernie Miklas will join us in his regular Wednesday spot. Derek Gould's going to join me just after the 7 o'clock news, live from Las Vegas, the site of the GM meeting. So we'll mix in a lot of baseball here in this hour in Rush Hour Sports, and then we'll do even more coming up in the 2 hours that follow on Sports Open Line. But that's not going to be it. We're going to talk some Blues. They beat the Flames, the worst team in hockey. I'm only teasing. Any win's a good win right now. Yeah, you take what you can get. We'll talk some Blues, specifically on the Blues a little later on. I'm going to ask a question that you're welcome to answer. If you're streaming, feel free to do that straight there on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And that goes for anything. You guys want to comment, you want to throw in your two cents, agree, disagree, doesn't matter. We'll get to all of it. But on the hockey side later on, we talk the Blues. I'm going to ask a theoretical question. This isn't like, should they tank? That's not the question. But my question is, that we'll tackle just after the news, the 5:30 news break. Is it really a terrible thing if they stink all year? Is it really that terrible if you have the potential for getting a high lottery pick? Jeremy Rutherford wrote about this in The Athletic, and it intrigued me. He didn't suggest it. He's just saying that, you know, hey, maybe if you're going to get a new franchise player, it generally has to come from the top of the draft if you're going to get it in any kind of short order. So we'll kick that around a little later. I want to talk some college football playoffs later this hour as well. And as I mentioned in Sports Open Line from 6 until 8 o'clock, Bernie and Derek will jump in. We'll do some more Blues, more college football. We're going to be all over the place. I want to start with baseball, and the GM meetings are going on, and we don't have any real solid reporting yet, right? None of the, at least nothing that's like, hey, this is imminent. All we're hearing now is teams are interested in doing this and teams are talking about that. And, you know, we've seen some of the national baseball reporters starting to hit on the things we've all been talking about with the Cardinals. And I'm not picking on them, by the way. They shouldn't be talking about the Cardinals all the time. That's what we do on a day-to-day basis. So, of course, we're going to be having those conversations before the Ken Rosenthal's and John Morosi's, and it's not anything on those against those guys. I love those guys. But the Cardinals are getting some buzz at the GM meetings, just in the sense that they are an attractive team for teams that are looking to buy. They are an attractive trade partner for teams looking to buy because they have several really good players that they're open to trading. And Heim Bloom has talked about it a number of times and reiterated it at the GM meetings that, you know, they're Nolan Arenado is going to be more open to some more ideas. They both agree, the team and the player agree, that it's probably best to not just keep doing the same thing for either party's case. We know that, you know, there's a possibility that Sonny Gray's name is going to be out there, and that's an attractive, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Bernie and Matt and I have talked about it a lot, that Sonny Gray's super attractive this year because you're looking at, let's be realistic, you know, he's been the Cardinals' number one, but if you're a contender, he's more of your two or three. But it's a really attractive option, even at the money he makes, because it's only 1 year. There's no long-term risk. There's no aging to worry about. There's none of that. And then there's a guy like Brendan Donovan, who is going to be a really popular trade target for a lot of contenders because he's a little bit of everything, right? I don't want to trade him. None of us do, right? I mean, if you watch the Cardinals, you don't want to trade consistent performers. You don't want to trade guys that you can count on that have a good presence in the clubhouse and all that. So I want to be clear. I don't want to trade him. I think the Cardinals have to trade him. It's more of a practicality thing than a desire. I think the combination of him being 2 years away from free agency, you having players like J.J. Weatherholt who are coming up to be able to play the spots that Donovan's primary. I mean, Donovan is great because he can play anywhere, but his best spot is second base. But you have Weatherholt as an infielder who's ready. I mean, if he has a good spring, he's going to be on this team. You know, you've got some young outfield prospects. Joshua Baez is going to push here at some point soon. And you've got a lot of left-handed bats, and you want to have a little bit more balance. To me, it means that you trade the older guy closer to getting paid. Because everything you pay him will be money you can't put somewhere else you're going to need it. And he happens to play positions where you have depth. You have players that can do this. And guys in the long term that can come along and do it too. So I think this is the time to strike. This is, and again, not. I don't want to run the guy to town. If he's here in the spring, I'll be happy because I know you have a good player. He's an easy dude to root for. He's really the kind of guy that I root for because he maximizes his gifts and he works his ass off. And we could all appreciate that. But the fact that he is such a consistent performer and the fact that he's versatile, he's an on-base guy who can hit at the top of the order even for a contending team because of that on-base skill, is going to mean that you're going to get a good price for him. You're going to get significant talent for 2 years of Brendan Donovan. Now, don't get crazy here. Like, we're not talking about getting a top 10 or 20 prospect in baseball. You know, if you look at the top guys out there in the contenders, just as an example, you know, you're not looking at dealing with, say, the Seattle Mariners and getting Colt Emerson from them, who's the number 9 prospect in all of baseball, a left-handed hitting infielder who's got some pop and really just a good high-quality player. But you're not getting that guy. You know, you're not calling up the Dodgers and getting Josue de Paula, who is the number 13 prospect in baseball, who some scouts have called Baby Yordan, as in Baby Yordan Alvarez, because he's a big dude with developing power, and he's only 20. That's not what we're talking about, okay? But if you look toward the latter half of the top 100, or if you look at a solid organization like Cleveland, and you take a look at some guys that are maybe in the middle part of their top 10, maybe the bottom part of their top 10, you start to get an idea of the types of players. So maybe it's one of those guys and then another guy or two that are a little off of that. Maybe there's a lottery ticket tacked on and there's another middling prospect. He's going to be somebody that you can upgrade areas that you don't have strength in numbers at this point. And maybe even some short-term help, depending on who you're dealing with, right? So if you're dealing with, say, the Yankees, and Bernie and Matt and I have talked about this a lot with the Yankees, they have an extraordinary number of really talented young starting pitchers that are kind of between AA and AAA that they're just not going to have room for. I mean, just practically speaking, they're not going to have room for them. You've got Luis Gil already in the big leagues. Cam Schlittler, with what he's done in the postseason, he's got a spot moving into next year. You know that Garrett Cole's coming back at some point in the next calendar year. You got Carlos Rodon on a big contract. And they don't have room for everybody, but they've got several guys. I'm not going to drive you crazy with names, but if you go to MLB Pipeline and you look at their top 10 or 12, you see exactly what I mean. A bunch of guys that throw hard, that are in their top 10 or 15 that are at double and triple A. So big arm pitchers that are close to big league ready, which is, I mean, if you're thinking about the ideal return in a trade for the Cardinals, it's big arms that are close to the big leagues. And then the question becomes, okay, do these guys project as front of the rotation guys or, middle rotation guys, or maybe they're they're these guys that have a high ceiling and a little bit of a low floor. So that low floor means maybe they're a relief pitcher. You know, when you throw 100, you're going to have a chance at being a major league reliever. So as we look at the case with Donovan, if you wait longer, you got the risk of something else going wrong. Look, he's missed significant time in two of the last 3 years with injuries. You know, this year it was more nagging, but he had to have sports hernia surgery, and he missed time with foot problems that were related to all that. They're all interconnected. And then 2023, you know, he had to have the elbow surgery. You don't want anything to go wrong again in this coming year. And then the closer he gets to free agency, the less he's going to be worth anyway, because he's getting that much closer. And I'm not saying you should never consider paying a guy like him. I don't think the Cardinals' current setup gives them the luxury to spend what it would take to give Donovan a 5-year extension. It'll be reasonable the first couple years, but it's going to be in the $12 to $15 million a year range after that. And that's going to be when he's getting into his ages 32, 33 seasons. I'm not sure that's the wisest thing to do for where they are now. Now, if the Cardinals were coming into 2026 and they were what they were 6 years ago and you're building for a contender, well, yeah, you know what? Give him the deal. He helps you win now, and it's not that big of a risk down the road. But it's that situation, and I think that's something that all of us that follow the Cardinals kind of have to get on board with. This is a different circumstance than what we're used to. And I would say that you're probably going to have, based on what we're seeing from some of the reporting in Vegas, and I'll ask this, Derek Gould about this a little bit later on too. That'll be just after 7 o'clock. That, you know, they're going to be, I would think, at least half a dozen teams making serious runs. And I saw, I think it was maybe Ken Rosenthal. I know Derek has touched on this too, but, you know, Rob Serfolio is, you know, one of the new lieutenants under Heim Bloom, really smart dude. Working in the, you know, player development, and that's where he comes from in Cleveland. So if Cleveland has interest, who knows their farm system better than Rob Serfolio? Like, that's the kind of, those are the kind of connections you look forward to. And I think this is going to be a fun year. When Bernie comes on in an hour, so he's going to join us at 6:20 during Sports Open Line. He has a piece today that is about whether, you know, the idea of trading Alec Burleson, not saying they need to, just exploring the yes or the no and why you would or what would it take and why you wouldn't want to do it. That's going to be an interesting conversation, too. You got to blow me away to move Burleson. I mean, you'd have to be like, it has to be a Godfather offer. And not to say that it's because he's a star. It's because he's a really good player who's under control for 4 more years. You're planning on being good within that 4-year window. And he's not even going to be that expensive until you get to near the end of that 4-year window. So for that valuable of a player, for that kind of quantity, especially when he's a known commodity now after 2 years, you're going to want a lot in return. That's where you may be looking at one of those top 30 or 40 type prospects, a team that may not need that guy at any point in the next few years, and they'll just develop another one. So we'll continue to look at this in the offseason. I want to talk a little bit more about what the Cardinals could be targeting in free agency. That's been a popular conversation. We'll talk to Derek Gould about that later on, but I've seen him talk about it. I've seen some of the national reporters bring up that they're looking at, and we've seen Heim Bloom even say this, they're looking at starting pitching and potentially, not potentially, I think specifically, a veteran reliever. So we'll talk a bit about guys that might make sense in that role coming up here on Rush Hour Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rush Hour Sports on a Wednesday night. Kevin Wheeler with you here. Obviously, I'm going to stick around and do a little sports open line tonight, too. Matt Pauly's out for the rest of the week. He'll be back next week, according to the plan. And just figure we're all teammates here. We're going to help each other out when we need to help each other out. So that'll be me tonight. I get to do sports for 3 hours. It's like the old days, man. You guys, I know some of you guys that have been around a bit, you know. But, you know, I spent most of my career doing 3 and 4 hour solo shows. So this is like... this is like just old school stuff to me. This is what I was doing when I was 27 years old, just doing an overnight show on Sporting News Radio back in the day. Feel free to join us, guys. If you want to comment on the stream, you want to text 314-436-7900. We're going to talk baseball now. I got some Blues coming up after the 5:30 news. A little college football later this hour as well. And then Bernie Miklas at 6:20. Derek Gould from Vegas at the GM meetings at 7:05. Wouldn't it be funny if Derek was out there in Vegas but not for the GM meetings? He's just out there to see a show at the Sphere and then, I don't know, hit the strip. Not that he wouldn't. I mean, I do those things. Just be weird if he was doing that there at the same time as the GM meetings. Let's switch around a little bit. So instead of talking about the potential for subtractions for the Cardinals, and I'll bring this one up with Derek earlier too, or later too, because this I saw, if you go to stltoday.com, he's got a kind of the best podcast in baseball, but a little bit shorter video version today where they're talking a bit about GM meetings, things and all that. But there's a really interesting piece in there where they're talking about the things that the Cardinals are looking to add. And they are going to do some things in free agency. It's just not going to be headline breaking stuff, right? Like the names that we've kicked around on here. I know a lot of us, Bernie, Matt and I think Derek likes this one too, but like a guy like Dustin May would be a great add depending on the cost. It's all, and you know, we don't know what teams are going to go for, but it's a bit of a reclamation project, right? He's a 28-year-old guy that throws 100 miles an hour, but he hasn't been healthy for a few years. And at 28, maybe that's a gamble you take when you're in a rebuild. And if it works, wonderful. And if it doesn't, well, you tried something cool. You tried something with a guy that has big stuff. But that starting pitching, I would imagine that's the type. It's going to be a reclamation guy. It's going to be someone who maybe is coming off a bit of an off year. I'd be interested to look at a guy like Walker Buehler, yeah, on a 1 year deal or something along those lines, just on the idea that, hey, all right, first of all, you know, you're going to have some innings coverage. That's great. Second of all, the upside could be that's a valuable trade piece at the deadline, because if you have a healthy Walker Buehler who's got kind of back to his old feel, that's a guy that has playoff experience. It's a guy with, at times, has had front of the rotation stuff. He hasn't really had that since injuries, but those are the types of guys I'd love to see them target. And I'm going to assume it's going to be short term and not super big money. And we know for sure that they're thinking about the bullpen. I would guess at least one, maybe two veteran arms for the pen. And one thing about the pen that's nice is they're always available, right? I mean, we saw them pick up Maton late in the winter last year, and that was a hell of a move. He was super valuable for them and wound up getting them a piece in at the trade deadline. But even if you're not going to get a piece from at the deadline, stability matters. Win the games you should so that you don't ever get into this super sucky tank mode. Because that's the one thing I don't mind teams rebuilding. I hate tanking. I don't think it's never good. I just think it's just too much risk to even consider when you're not a tiny budget, small market team. You know, if you're the Marlins, okay, maybe sometimes you need to try it. Pirates, maybe, although the Pirates have been trying it for 30 years. How well has that worked out? Never really gets them where they want to go, does it? Because they don't keep anybody around when the time comes. But a rebuild is actually a natural thing, and we've seen Boston do it. We've seen the Yankees take a little time. The Dodgers did it, you know, this is before, you know, Andrew Friedman and the new group came in there. But even they had times where they shed some payroll and just kind of retooled around some younger players. It's a smart thing to do from time to time. You don't want to, but sometimes you have to. But there are a couple interesting guys on the free agent market, and Maton would be one of them for the bullpen. But the guy that I'm going to ask Derek Gould about later, because it's a guy they mentioned in the video that's on stltoday.com, is Pete Fairbanks. So I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised that the Rays declined the option on him. I think it was $11 million for a guy that's been a pretty consistent closer. He's really tough to hit against. If you go look at his profile, his strikeout rate has come down a little bit, and maybe that's something that concerned other teams in trade talks. Maybe other teams just looked at it and said, why would we trade with Tampa when they'll probably just cut the money and run if they don't have any good trades? And then you can go get him in free agency. But, I mean, he's got an average fastball at 97 miles an hour. He doesn't give up barrels. He gets a lot of ground balls for a guy that throws hard. And he's picked up a little bit of a cutter that he's trying to work into his routine, too. But that would be a guy, you know, he's had 25 saves almost every year for the last few years. Might be an interesting pickup for the Cards. He's a St. Louis kid. A lot of you out there may know the guy. Went to Webster Groves. I've known Pete for a long time. I've known him since he was 14 years old. Back when Pete was a catcher. Yeah, the big guy that's now 6'7". He was about 6'3 then when he was a young guy. And he could be an interesting guy depending on his marketplace. I don't think it's going to happen personally. I think there will be some kind of playoff caliber team that looks at that and says, even if they don't see closer, you know, 3-year deal, $7, $8, $9, $10 million a year for a guy that can come in and blow hitters away with 100 miles an hour. I think that that's going to probably going to be keeping him out of St. Louis. But you know what? Wouldn't hurt to look. Right, you might get the kid who wants to come back home for a little bit. And I would not count on that. Should I text Pete and ask him? I'm going to text Big Pete and go, hey, you coming home or what? But this is the kind of thing you want to look at as opportunity, right? If you were to sign a guy like that to a one-year deal or a two-year deal and you get to the deadline, it's another valuable piece. So I think you're looking at two things. You're looking at depth, so you never have to tap into players that aren't ready. And you're looking at guys that have some upside, guys that could give you trade pieces. And we'll get more in depth on that as the rumors go. We'll talk a little bit more about what we're hearing from the GM meetings with Derek Gould coming up at 7:05 tonight. And, of course, Bernie's going to join us in an hour. So we'll have more on the Cardinals coming up there. Next up, I want to throw some Blues things out there. So, Blues fans, feel free to jump in. I got a question for you. Is it really a terrible thing if they end up stinking all year? I don't think they will. But if they do, is it the worst thing in the world if they end up with a really high draft pick? We'll get into that next up here on KMOX. All right, it's Rush Hour Sports on a Wednesday here on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you for the rest of this hour, and then I'm going to stick around. I'm going to do some sports open line tonight. Matt Pauly's out the rest of the week. He'll be back next week. But at the time, for the time being, I get to flash back to the past. Not that long ago. It's only been 2 or 3 years, yeah, something like that. Probably 3 since I did Sports Open Line on a regular basis, something like that. But yeah, it's going to be Bernie Miklas at 6:20. We'll talk some ball with him. We may mix it up. I may throw a couple of other things in there aside from Cardinals. But then we'll talk to Derek Gould at 7:05 from Vegas and just get what's the latest he's hearing at the GM meetings and just talk some ball with him. And you're welcome to jump in anytime you want. If you're on the stream, you can see my really shiny forehead. Pretty great. We have the greatest lighting in here. Like it's just always a good, just a shine on my head. Here, let me try this. We'll see if that, getting rid of that ring light, Matt. It's still shiny. Still shiny. It's a problem when you have a giant forehead. It catches the light really well. But you can have a laugh at that. And then chime in if you want to on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Switching to some Blues talk. Got a win last night. I'm going to try to not kind of ride the wave every game or win or loss for the time being. I mean, still the overall quality of play needs to be better, right? It was a solid win in Buffalo the other night, followed by a loss to Seattle. And, you know, I'm not going to get all excited about a 3-2 win over the Flames. But here's the good news. It kept you further from the Flames from being the worst team in the league, but it also jumped you over Nashville in the division. So, baby steps. Baby steps would be the best way to talk about that. If you're looking for your positive, they've won 3 of the last 5. But does it really feel that good? I don't know. I don't think it does. But again, I still fully expect this team to be a hell of a lot better than it has been so far. And that's why it gets to the point of criticism, right? It gets to the point of people barking at the team, fans booing at games. It gets to that point because you're underachieving. if we know you're bad, we'll mostly just know you're bad, and we'll talk about that in areas to get better. And you talk a lot. I mean, look, man, I did Sports Open Line, and I did Blues pre and post games when they were the worst team in the league coming out of the lockout. I know what it's like to see a terrible, truly terrible team. This isn't that. They're better than that, which is why everybody's frustrated with them. What I'm going to get to after we do a quick hit on traffic is whether or not it's that big of a deal if this ends up being a bad season. If you end up picking higher than 10th for the first time since 2008, would that be a terrible thing considering you're kind of stuck in the mud as it is? We'll get into that coming up after a quick hit of traffic with Captain Roger Brandt.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic from the Michaels Flooring Outlet.com traffic center.
Well, we got trouble in North County now, Kevin. This traffic report's a service of the Sandberg Phoenix Law Firm. Got an injury crash eastbound 270 about midway between Lindbergh and the inner belt. It's in the exit lanes, the right-hand lanes. Traffic's a solid jam back around the horn past McDonald Boulevard. Northbound 170 is an alternate. Is slow from 70 up to Airport Road, but then you're in the clear. Westbound 70, still some heavy traffic from like West Florissant all the way to Lucas Hunt. A couple of spots out through the airport to the Blanchett Bridge. 94 to Zumbel, 79 out through K. Just slow stretches periodically. None of that's jammed. Southbound 170 backs up in pockets from Olive all the way down to 64. Northbound from 64 up to the Parkway's heavy. A solid jam westbound 64 west of Grand all the way to Clayton Skinker, but it's slow to Big Bend. It's slow Lindbergh to 270 west of Topgolf, and it backs up at Long Road all the way through the Boone Bridge. And then there's delays again from 94 most of the way to Winghaven, 364 to 70. 364 Youngerman through Mid Rivers is busy. South 270 jams south to 364 down to Ladue both ways between Olive and Manchester, still pretty busy. A new crash westbound 44 west of Lindbergh in the right lanes. Traffic's backed up to about Big Bend. Southbound 55 Arsenal down through Bates, you've got a pretty solid backup through there. Southbound 141 still backed up south of Ladue down to 64. And K still delays around 364, but no longer jammed. I'm Roger Brand at the Michaels Flooring Outlet.com Traffic Center.
At Sandberg Phoenix, we're more than just a law firm. Our attorneys are committed to you, your business, and your community. We are ready to serve you in the areas of business, business litigation, intellectual property, health law, and products liability. SandbergPhoenix.com. The choice of lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising.
All right, back in on Rush Hour Sports. Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you here today, flying solo tonight, and we'll be doing Sports Open Line after the top of the hour. I want to get back to the Blues, and I asked the question because I really thought Jeremy Rutherford had a super interesting piece in The Athletic. My buddy JR does an amazing job covering the team, and I read everything that JR writes, and I thought this one really caught my attention as an interesting conversation piece for the Blues. And his headline is essentially, what if the season becomes a lost year for the Blues? Would getting top prospect Gavin McKenna, would that offset it? And my answer to that would be yes. Like when I, as soon as, and I read through the piece, he really gets into the nuts and bolts of it. It's fantastic. And you don't know for sure you're going to end up with the number one pick. And that's not what I'm arguing. Like tank for, you know, any particular player. And I'm not arguing tank. Just to be clear, I'm not saying they should try to lose. They should just give up on everything. What I'm saying is, as a fan of a team, sometimes the team underachieving can have bigger long-term benefits. It can spur change, right? It can push a front office to make some necessary changes. It can get you the higher draft pick. I mean, like, let's use this. We'll do a quick Cardinals analogy. If the Cardinals hadn't struggled the last few years, there's no J.J. Weatherholt waiting to break in and potentially be an annual All-Star. We don't know he's going to be that. But we do know that right now he's seen as one of the top five prospects in the sport pretty much universally with all of the prospect rankers. That doesn't make it a guarantee, but you don't have that player if you're picking 24th. You don't have Liam Doyle, a lefty who throws 100 miles an hour and was one of the most dominant college pitchers in the country last year. You don't have him if you didn't have a down year. And I'm not saying you try to have a down year. I'm talking about our view as an outsider coming to the conclusion that sometimes it's not the end of the world. Do you think Cleveland Cavaliers fans were upset they ended up with LeBron James as a franchise-changing player because they were terrible? I'm a Pistons fan. Their general suckiness for the last 12 to 15 years helped them land Cade Cunningham, who looks like he's pretty damn good and has them back being a playoff team. There can be that silver lining in the dark cloud, and that's really what the question is. It's about perspective. It's not about recommending that a team go into the tank. I don't think the Blues should try to tank or try to lose. But I also think that as we observe from the outside, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if you end up with a pick higher than 10th. The last time the Blues picked higher than 10th was 2008. That was Alex Pietrangelo at number 4 overall. That worked out pretty well. That's a franchise defenseman. And I know that there are things that happen later in the draft that can work out. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko was the 16th pick, and he's got 300 NHL goals, and he's coming up on 700 points. He had a great run for you. So I'm not saying that you can't get impact later than that. Right? David Perron was the 26th overall pick. David Perron's coming up on 800 points, and he's got 300 career goals, and he's been on a lot of winning teams. So the point isn't that you have to pick at that very top. Because we can use the example from 2006, and this guy's had a solid career. You know, Eric Johnson's played 1,000 NHL games, but he didn't live up to being the first pick in the draft, which is what he was in 2006. So I know that the higher pick can fail. But it's also your best chance at getting the caliber of player that can change the course of your franchise. I'm sure Edmonton fans were not thrilled with how bad their team was. I'm sure they don't mind having Connor McDavid. Do you think any of them would want to reverse those terrible years and then not have Connor McDavid? So that's an interesting point. And again, I don't think that we're talking about, you know, Gavin McKenna being that kind of player. And again, we don't know that you're going to pick number one. The point isn't that it's that one player, really. Although, again, I really recommend reading JR's piece because it was a very interesting and in-depth read. But it does mean we don't have to look at this season being the be-all, end-all, because we know this. None of us expected this team to make a cup run coming into the year. Nobody. I think the view was, if you have a good year, maybe you finish third in the division. That'd be great, but mostly it was a battle for a wild card spot was kind of the feel about the team, kind of like last year. May still be that. You know, they weren't very good at the beginning of last year either. They got their coach fired. And they just might be right now a group of players that plays better as the season goes along. You got to fix that because you're just giving away opportunities at the beginning of seasons the way that they're going. So maybe they're going to be all right, but it's going to be okay if they're not, because maybe it will spur Doug Armstrong to move a couple of guys that aren't working out. And maybe you end up picking inside the top 10, maybe inside the top 5, and getting your next Alex Pietrangelo or getting the next first, you know, number one centerman or a first line 40 goal guy to tack on. Somebody with an engine, hopefully. That would be nice. All right, we got more hockey coming up in Sports Open Line after the top of the hour news. That'll be probably coming up after 6:30. Next up, I just want to do a little on college football, and then we'll get to Sports Open Line coming up after the news. All right, just a few minutes left in this hour. I might have to save my college football rant that I have for a little bit later on during Sports Open Line. So I wanted to complain about the college football playoff rankings. Not really anything super specific other than the Notre Dame treatment, which just infuriates me. Because I don't. There's a lot that I don't understand about. I understand what they do. I don't like what they do. Let's be honest. I don't love that. And Bernie's mentioned this a few times. I don't love the name brand special treatment, even when it benefits my guys. I don't love it. I don't even have a complaint about where my guys are. They deserve to be where they are. If they're not going to win games against teams you're supposed to beat, you don't get to complain. But like I look at a case for Notre Dame, and I'll get deeper into this because I don't want it to sound like it's just my Notre Dame hate, because I do have that. But I know I have that. So at least I understand that part of it is irrational. But I think the case is very logical. It's like I don't understand why they're the highest-ranked two-loss team. They don't have a good win. The best teams they've played beat them. And look, they're close games. I'm not going to step around that. But do close losses actually matter more than quality wins? When you look at it and you're like, who's the best team that Notre Dame's beaten this year? It's USC. They're not that good. They're all right. But they also haven't beaten anybody either. Well, they beat Michigan, but Michigan stinks this year. So, I think that it'll sort itself out to a degree. I don't think it will for Notre Dame because they have such an easy remaining schedule. The last chance they have to lose is this weekend against Pitt. And I don't think they're going to lose that game against Pitt. They'll beat Syracuse and Stanford because those two teams are terrible. I understand that the name value matters, but and I don't like hearing committee members talk about the eye test. Stop it. Stop it. This is not supposed to be, well, I think they look better. Just look at the track record, the quality of the wins, the quality or lack of quality of the losses, and then find a way to make a really good case that is consistent and that can apply to every school the same way. That's the problem, is the lack of consistency. I'll have more on that coming up later on. Sports Open Line with me coming up after the 6 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.